Hey everyone, and welcome back to The Perspective, a show where we tackle paranormal and supernatural claims, belief in aliens, conspiracy theories, and pretty much any claim you want to bring us. I'm actually super excited for this episode in particular because we have like one of our very first Bigfoot callers, which we'll get to shortly. Anyway, your hosts for the evening are none other than Brain Bug and Jim Barrows. How you guys doing?
Oh, not too bad. How about yourself?
I'm doing well.
I'm doing all right. I'm excited about that call too.
Yeah, and it's crazy. It is our last show of 2021. So what I am doing for the first hour of the program, we're going to be taking calls. After that, I'm going to bring on a series of past hosts to join us, and we're just going to wrap up the year with all of some of the greatest hosts you've seen on The Perspective this year.
And we've had some great hosts this year, Ethan. I'm just stoked to find out who you got coming on to hang out with us. But
I got all the regulars as long as everything goes according to plan. You know what? If I would have thought this more thoroughly through, what I would have done is literally asked every host who's ever been on to be on the stream and made it like a big mashup on The Perspective. But I didn't think of that, unfortunately.
Yeah, that would have been pretty cool, though.
Yeah. All right. Bree, Jim, would you like me to bring on your first caller?
Yeah.
And yeah. You have call-in studio up?
Yes.
That. Okay, cool. So first time taking a Bigfoot caller. I'm pretty excited. Ronnie, you are on with Jim and Brain Bug. How are you?
I'm all right. Hello?
Hey there, Ronnie.
Hey, Ronnie. How's it going?
Yeah. Oh, pretty good. How about y'all?
Doing good. So what's this about Bigfoot? Did you see him or?
Well, you know, I'm kind of curious why, you know, you would ask, but, you know, you asked me about my experience or whatever, and I'm willing to share my beliefs or whatever. And, keep in mind, I'm a straight up atheist, and, you know, I'm not given to like whims of belief and things like that. Like, I'm telling you what, like physical reality that I experienced. So you asked me for this, and, I don't mind.
Yeah. Let's crack it open. So, let's hear about Bigfoot. Did you actually have an encounter?
Well, actually, it's not just been one. It's been multiple times over the course of about 30 years or so. You know, it's been multiple times. And
okay. Give us the, out of these experiences, what was the, what do you think would be the most compelling information for us to have? What would be most interesting and provocative of a tale to tell on that?
Well, you know, let me give you a little bit of my background first, okay? I'm a geologist, so I'm very familiar with the outdoors. I spent a lot of time outdoors, okay? I spent a lot of time outdoors. I know the sounds of every animal. You know, even though I can identify every bird species in, you know, at least Tennessee by the call. And, you know, I'm very familiar with the outdoors. I've spent most of my time outdoors my whole life. Mm-hmm. I farm and I'm a geologist. That's my background. Okay.
Okay.
So, you know, sometimes at night I hear it. Right. But, throughout the course of my life, like, there's been several times where I have had a visual contact and, it's never been violent though. It's never been anything violent. And, it's just never been violent, and it's basically just walked away from me.
Okay. And when you say visual, what do you mean?
Well, I mean, I've seen it, like, within 20 feet or whatever.
Standing in the open or in the forest or?
yeah, in the forest, like, when I was hunting, when I was, like, you know, just kind of taking a lunch break in the field. You know,
can you describe it, whatever. Can you describe the encounter?
If I had to describe it, it would be sort of like you know, human, like which is a hominoid. You know, I believe that, and you know, there's no reason why there's a primate species on every continent, right? So why would there not be one in North America? But as far as a missing link or whatever in the terms of evolution, I mean, in terms of evolution.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
There's actually a good reason to not expect to find a hominid in North America or in South America for that matter.
It kind of looked Native American. It kind of looked like Native American in the face, but the animal in like the body. You know what I mean?
No. What do you mean animal in the body?
Like the body was an animal, but the face was like a Native American, like a man, you know, like that's why everybody says that they look in the face and they can't shoot it because it looks like a man, but the body was like an animal, you know. It's kind of weird. I don't really know how to explain it, to be honest with you. And this is my first time doing this, okay? I've never done
right.
this.
You're okay. You're doing
like
fine.
No, it's fine. You're doing fine. So when you say like an animal, do you mean like it had fur on it? It had scales. What made you think that this was an animal?
No, it was hair, but you know, hair is what defines manimal, you know, like it was a manimal. I mean, and that's where the line is gets kind of fuzzy because you can't define between manimal and human, you know, like.
Are you saying manimal?
Well, yeah, mammal, you know, like.
Oh, mammal.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, where, we are mammals. If you thought it looked like a hominid, yeah, it would definitely be a mammal. So it was furry, hairy. I mean,
hairy.
How big are we talking?
Hairy. What's that?
How big are we talking?
Yeah. Like, you know, like 9-10 feet.
9 or 10 feet. Oh, that's a big animal.
Like, you know, you don't mistake something like that you see in the woods.
So,
okay? Like, you don't do that.
Was it standing still looking at you? Was it walking? Did you cross a trail?
You know what? Every single time, it was like it had been watching me, and I didn't know it, and it just literally just walked away from me like I was nothing.
But you saw it. You saw its human like face.
Yeah, but I seen it. You know what? It's just like that Patterson video.
Okay.
Except for the fact that you didn't know it was there. You weren't prepared. You didn't have a camera. It just like walked away. Like, I was nothing. Like, he had been sitting and studying me, and he just walked away.
What kind of forest is it? It's Tennessee, so are we up in the highlands, the pines, or are we down in the,
West Tennessee, North Mississippi area. West Tennessee, North Mississippi. And, you know, my experience is not as dramatic as everybody else. You know, says, but you know, I'm just telling you what happened. I mean,
right. So, and, I mean, it seems a little. I mean, we have nothing in the fossil record for a Bigfoot, and we only have these. Pardon?
Let me tell you something, okay? I'm a geologist. I know about the fossil record, and it takes water. Preserve fossils, like in most of the fossils we have are marine related, okay?
Right.
You know, it takes a certain environment to preserve fossils, and not everything is going to be preserved, okay? So when you're talking about a mammal species, like, you know, you're in a whole different, that's rare. Fossilization at all is rare, okay?
Right. But we have the fossil record for almost every other hominid species. It seems odd that we don't have one for this particular species at all. And given the range of places that they've been seen, you know, unless those are relatively new ranges, that, you know, when I say range, I mean area that they live in, you would still expect something in the fossil record to indicate that a hominid can get to 9 or 10 feet And we don't have, I mean, we just don't have anything, as far as I know, anything on the fossil record that, that indicates that a hominid can get to 9 or 10 feet tall.
The problem with, okay, with hominids...
let me ask you this. What's that?
So the problem with it being a hominid is that, okay, so most of the animals that migrated to North America from Asia are steppe animals. They were they lived on the tundra and then up in the frozen plains a bit. Not a good prime ape habitat. Now, apes like Gigantopithecus, for instance, did get huge. It was a massive animal, but it was also indigenous to bamboo forest, and it would have needed that to stay near bamboo forest in order to be able to keep itself and enough food to survive. And the crossing the Bering land bridge when it was frozen over, that's it's thousands and thousands of miles of trekking. Now, the only hominid that I'm aware of that is built to make that kind of long distance travel is humans. And we are built to travel. All the other apes are kind of arboreal. They stick to the forest, but humans, as we have evolved, we evolved to travel great distances across the plain. So that's why we are able to make that journey. Go ahead.
Okay, so let me ask you a question, right? You know about Gigantopithecus, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gigantopithecus blackie.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you know about the Bering land strait?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. So it was exposed. So that means the environment changed, right? The environment changed, so...
Well, that's what I was just saying, know? that land bridge was a tundra. It was an Arctic tundra when it was there. And the animals that crossed over that land bridge were cursorial tundra animals like wolves and elk and humans, our dogs. We brought our dogs with us. But there aren't any other hominids that were out there. Go ahead.
You're getting a lot of like an evolution of history right now, like the short-faced bear, but if the land bridge was exposed, that means the environment changed, right? So, you had a warm environment and it was not anything different than, what was in Asia. And, animals, especially mammals, they move.
They migrate, we have tiger fossils in Alaska because tigers used to be able to go across that land bridge too. When they got across, they were trapped there for. I'm sorry, Jim. I keep cutting you off.
No. I was also going to point out that you're right. They do move, and we don't have. It's very hard to find credible tracks of one of these animals or people or hominids. There's no fur or hair left behind. I mean, they seem really, really difficult to track, just for the ones that are alive. So it seems we've got tracks for animals that are fairly rare, but it just seems really interesting that... we only have eyewitness sightings. The pictures that we have, as far as I know, have been mostly debunked. And with the prevalence of cameras all over the place, highway cameras, they catch all kinds of weird stuff. Hunter cameras that they use for that.
Trail cams.
You don't understand, okay? This is what you don't understand. They have, like, all those things that you just mentioned, highway cameras, hunters cameras, they have caught it. Like, they have. I mean, everything is out there. But as far as my personal experience, what's up?
Where did they catch it on camera? Like something that's actually, because I do a show every Saturday where I talk about different things and caught on camera.
It's all over the internet. They've caught it on traffic cameras. They caught it on trail cameras. As far as my personal experience or whatever, which is what I was going to tell you about, mm-hmm. it's not been one, two occasional instances. It's been multiple times. And, I've never really talked about it before, so this is my first time.
Yeah, no, and like I said, you're doing just fine. I am interested in asking questions about your personal experience, but I am kind of interested in which videos and photos you're talking about as well. I mean, if we're going to claim those,
as far as on traffic cameras, there's a traffic camera where they caught a whole family on the side of the road in Canada. I mean, that's on the internet.
I'm looking at the claim that the family was captured on Arizona Highway.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one. Maybe one of them. But I mean, that's probably one. So,
okay.
You know.
But so you find those videos compelling.
You're saying that there's no evidence, but you know what you're really telling me is you have not scratched what's actually out there as far as the evidence.
Well, I'm looking at this ADOT photo right now. It's Arizona Department of Transportation photo. And I have no idea what I'm looking at. I mean, you could definitely make the case that these are hominids of some kind, but you could also make the case that they're rocks. It's a still shot I'm looking at. But again, I could make the case that these are almost anything, to include people in fursuits.
So as far as my personal experience, what did you want to ask me about that?
So it was in Tennessee? All your experiences were in Tennessee?
Well, I want you to keep in mind something, okay? I'm a geologist, and I have traveled quite a bit, like more than the average person. I've done it for a living.
Right.
Spent time in isolation in many places, and, you know, I spent more time outdoors than the average hunter. Okay.
Right. And here, I mean, has anybody else been there and seen it with you, or has this just been you?
Absolutely. Actually, one night we were coon hunting in a bottom close to where I live, and, at least five people saw the same thing. Like, it literally walked up on us, but like every time, just like I tell you, right? And I won't change my story because I'm not lying, but it walked up on us and it literally walked away like we were nobody, you know? Like it had literally been studying us and just didn't care.
Did it leave any physical evidence?
We were not a threat. What's that?
Did it leave any physical evidence for you to be able to examine? Footprints, hair samples, anything like that?
Well, of course, footprints, but I mean, we never paid attention to that. You know, we were just like so shocked about it. We didn't. We didn't go back to look. What's that?
I definitely get being shocked by an encounter like that. It was a group of, you said about five people with you, and you saw the
animal. Well, basically, it was me, my brother, and my dad, my grandpa. One of his uncle and his two kids, like we were all out to him, okay? And the thing walked up through the briars and like a creek, or I don't know if you call it a creek or a ditch. It didn't really have water running at the time, but he just walked up through it like it was nothing, you know, all through the briars and everything, and just walked up on us and walked past us just like we were nothing. And that was just one time now. It's been several times. This is like, you know, I wouldn't call and tell you this stuff for nothing. I mean,
we're just trying to figure out what it was that you saw. And I mean, I'm looking through the internet as you're talking here, and every photo I'm finding, first, I really have to commend, all of the Department of Transportations that have photos up for having the worst cameras I have ever had the displeasure of looking at. Are they bad? I don't see how you could use them for anything. But I mean, I see stuff and yeah, I go, okay, yeah, you can make the claim. It's just really, really odd that these are the best that we have. And
and this guy's 10 foot tall, moving through the creek bottoms. Just
right. I really can't say 10 foot exactly, but I know that it was very intimidating. You know, mm-hmm. it was like bigger than normal.
Right.
Like, I can't tell you in exact.
And you didn't have your phone with you?
Well, some of these times were before they were in cell. Some of these times I'm telling you about are before their cell phones.
Okay. Didn't exist.
Okay.
Right. Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
you know, when something catches you off guard like that, I mean, you're not going to reach for your phone. Okay, that's not your first thought, right? And you know, like I said, some of the things I'm telling you about, cell phones never even existed then. Okay. So
let's,
you know, I was talking about going hunting, coon hunting one night when I was, you know, like maybe you're talking about 1983, 1984.
Okay. So let's look at some of the wildlife of the area and see if there's anything that fits the description for you. Obviously, the large animals that live in that area, we're talking about bears. You got black bears that in western Tennessee, not as much as they have.
There was actually an experiment where the TWRA tried to introduce black bears back in the 80s, right? Mm-hmm. So we all knew where they were. Like, everybody in the South is not stupid. We knew where they introduced the bears at. You know, they introduced black bears for a very short period of time, okay? So basically, mm-hmm. what you got is bobcat. This is the top predator, right? And you know, the occasional panther, which nobody believes is here, but TWRA finally admits it. Okay. So basically, you know, the top predator is a bobcat. So I know the sound of every single one of these, and every once in a while at night, it sounds. It's nothing like that. It's like a human animal neck, and you know. There's no mistaking what it is, but I know the sound. I can identify any bird that you can name by the call. Anybody, any of them, passerine, anything. Okay. I have a background in biology and geology, like I told you. I spent a lot of time outdoors. I'm a farmer. Like, I literally live outdoors, like, with my whole life. So, there's no mistaking when I hear something that's out of the ordinary. Okay.
Right.
Would you say that most of your encounters are auditory?
No. I mean, I've had multiple that were visual. I mean, no, it's not. And I hate to give too much of my background away, but I have very good professional experience, like, you know, legit.
Oh, yeah, we're not out to dox you or anything, but yeah, if you have professional training in a field, you know, to be studying.
I have a lot.
Yeah.
I have a lot. Like, you know, I'm, you know, University of Memphis graduate, University of Tennessee, with the both of them. Like, I'm legit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I have no reason to lie to you, and I have no reason to hide anything. You know,
yeah.
I do believe that it's a species that is, you know, this is where the thing comes in, right? Is it endangered or is it elusive, right?
Well, so, right. And even the most elusive animals eventually get, you know, definitively caught on camera. Then we find DNA. I mean, some of the most elusive creatures. Yeah. There aren't that many elusive animals even in the ocean. I mean, we do find a few, and that's much harder to find. And we still find those, and we find evidence for them.
Someone asked in the chat here what Bigfoot sounds like. Could you do a Bigfoot impression for us, or is that in your wheelhouse?
I can't really impersonate it, but I can tell you this: it's a call that is unmistakable. And the thing about it is, right, is you'll only hear it one time. It won't repeat. It'll only do it once. And it won't repeat unless it's like 2 or 3 hours later. It only does it once. It won't repeat it. It doesn't repeat like a regular animal will. You know, there's intelligence behind that, right? So it won't do it like repeatedly. It just does it once, like an isolated call, and then it won't do it again. But when you hear it, it's like there's no mistaking.
Could someone train their voice? Could someone train their voice to do it though? Like with practice?
No, it's too loud. It's too loud and it's too far off. It's no mistaking it. There's no mistaking it. Absolutely not.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it lots of things come to mind, but you know the area. So, I mean, I would assume that you've eliminated wind through caves and all that kind of stuff. Because one of the other things that's odd is, pardon? Go ahead.
So I'm in a delta. There's nothing like that here. I'm in a delta.
Okay. Yeah, like I said, I assume that you'd eliminated that. So, and because it's also odd that when you start looking into this stuff, everybody, there's no consistent description of the sound, unless it's a vague one like yours, you'll know it when you hear it type of description. Other than that, there's no good description or consistent description of the sound.
Let me try to describe it the best way that I can, right? It's like a mix between a human and an animal. And it's so loud that you know that it's far away, but you know that it's not normal. It's not a normal animal that you're used to.
Have you ever heard a cougar scream?
Absolutely. You know, TWRA just now admitted that cougars existed in Tennessee because somebody shot one with a bow and arrow in Middle Tennessee. And they just now admit that they were here, but I've seen them my whole life, even since I was a kid. Like, they've always been around. Like, there's nothing in it. Okay.
Well, there was before another subject. Before Western expansion, there was a subspecies of cougar called the Eastern cougar that was actually indigenous to Tennessee. I believe that they think the ones that are coming over now are invasive from the West.
Well, you know, I've got my own theories on that. I believe that the panther that is seen in the east past the Mississippi River is the Florida panther. Okay, as far as the mountain lions and everything like that, that goes on like in Arkansas or whatever like that. You know, it takes a lot to cross the Mississippi River. And, you know, I believe the panther that's seen in the eastern United States is the Florida panther migrating upwards. So that's my thoughts on that.
Florida panthers are a bit smaller, though, than the eastern cougar was. But there used to be a subspecies called the eastern cougar. They declared them extinct, I think it was in 2011. But there may still be some pockets out there of them. I don't know. I think that would be more likely than a Florida panther, because the Florida panthers, it's sort of adapted to living in that specific environment.
Well, my two ideas on that is that it never went extinct and it rebounded, or the Florida panther that's native moved up, you know. And you know, as far as the mountain lion or whatever they say that's out here, I don't believe it's a mountain lion at all, you know, which has been caught on camera, like you say, right? You wanted evidence, caught on wildlife camera. It had been.
Right.
I mean, all the evidence is out there. It's just, you know, people want to pick and choose, like, you know, what they want to accept. But, you know, it's just, you know, basically, you know, you gotta decide between personal experience or, you know, belief. And belief is something that you've never experienced. But when you see something, you experience it, it's not a belief anymore.
It sounds like you've had lots of experiences that we could really dig into. It's been really nice listening to your information that you have for us. And I do encourage you to give us a call back in the future with more of this. If you could give us accounts, that's what I'm really looking for. It's like, okay, it was this time of night. We were in this location.
I can tell you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can tell you several things that's happened to me. I mean,
yeah. Oh, well, definitely. Do consider giving us a call back, because this has been really enjoyable for me. I really love this topic. So anytime that I'm hosting, I welcome you to call in, because yeah, I really enjoy talking about this. We do have a call, other callers waiting though, so we gotta kind of move forward. But did you want to have any last words before we?
What can I listen to this at?
We're on YouTube at the YFNA. But if you message Ethan, he'll send you some links, okay? And I would like to communicate with you about some of these pictures and stuff that you're talking about that you find compelling, because I'd like to look them over and have a discussion about them maybe. But anyway, until next time, it's been nice talking to you.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you very much.
All right, Ronnie, you take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right, Jim. What'd you think of that?
It's interesting that, you know, like I said, the highway cameras, you'd think in 2022 would be better, at least in the 2000 would be better, but they're really, really low res, and that doesn't do you any good. The couple of high res stuff taken on a modern phone or more modern phone looks interesting, but there's just not enough detail on them, even on the high res, to really see exactly what it is that you're looking at. It could still be someone in a gorilla suit. It could be somebody in a fursuit of some kind still. I don't know.
Hind legs.
Yeah, it's just it's kind of interesting. There are still a lot of sightings. I was looking at sightings over time, thinking that with more modern cameras, we'd get fewer sightings, but the number of sightings has actually gone up, but not the number of pictures, which, again, is interesting. It's that's why it makes the whole thing so frustrating, is that when you start looking for evidence outside of personal experience, what you end up with is a bunch of nothing. We've got a one mandible that was in China, but no idea really it's hominid, but other than that we don't know anything about it.
Well, that's what I was going to get into there too, was that the ecology of the Gigantopithecus wouldn't have allowed it to traverse the Bering Land Bridge. It just wouldn't have been able to make that journey based on its, what we can understand of its anatomy and its habitat that it lived in. It wouldn't have been traveling across open tundra.
Right. And so it's really, really interesting at just how camera shy this is, you know, this creature is. You would expect to see, you know, to find hair, something leaving behind, tracks, feces, and none of it. And what you do find is that it's not consistent. So what can you really, really say? You know, and there may be some good reason to, for that, why it's not consistent, maybe, you know, because of time between, you know, from when the track was left, et cetera, but still.
I mean, there's more questions. I wanted to believe in Bigfoot for most of my life, well, growing up and stuff. I really wanted Bigfoot to be real, but just the evidence doesn't pan out. If you look at it as a collectively, it just doesn't pan out. Was that your first Bigfoot call you've ever taken?
Yeah. And like I said, it was interesting. It was his personal experience, and the only thing I can say is not everybody interprets the same experience the same way. So I'm not sure that if I had that same similar experience that I would necessarily call it a Bigfoot. I might call it just pareidola or something else.
Something anomalous, yeah.
Yeah. So.
All right. So before we move on to anything, we got some awesome, awesome people in the live chat. I want to give a shout out to, because they dropped some hella super chats. I got Cookies gave us $20. First time here.
Hey, thanks.
Gotta pay some respects. First time here. We're glad you're here. We got Stilette Leray. It definitely improves my year to find that YFNA in the perspective. While I am a strong believer in the soul, I love open and kind dialogue. Wishing everyone involved a great 2022. We're wishing you a great 2022 as well. And our old friend, Amit Matthew, dropping $20 in there as well. Thank you for helping me find community over the last year. I met so many great people through this show, and I love joining all these wonderful folks in the chat every week, wishing everyone a wonderful 2022. Yes, thank you so much. You people are so generous, and you keep this show going. You keep us wanting to come back and take these calls and talk to these folks. So we appreciate you. And if anybody out there in the live chat, if you have an experience, it doesn't have to be Bigfoot. It doesn't have to be aliens. But if you have some kind of unexplained experience that you want to share with us, we're open to just talk about it. Yeah, give us a call. We'd love to hear these accounts.
Yeah.
Speaking of accounts, I think our friend Eric on the back line here has a UFO experience.
So. Okay.
Yeah, you wanna talk to Eric? Let's bring him on. Oh, maybe there he goes. Can you hear us, Eric?
Yeah, I've been listening. It's my first time listening to you all. But my name is Eric Marshall, and I'm calling from just outside of Charlotte, North Carolina. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you a little bit soft, but I'm Brain Bug, and this is Jim Barrows, and we like to explore these kind of experiences that people have. So I understand you had a experience with a UFO or something similar?
Well, I've had multiple experiences with this phenomenon, and it led up to an actual face-to-face encounter with a being or entity of some sort that I cannot describe other than what some of the images that you might have seen in pop culture, similar to something like that. I actually had a face-to-face encounter with something like that.
Like a gray
October
alien?
October 13th, 2010.
And what did the alien look like?
Dang sure looked like one. If it wasn't, it was sure putting on a good show for me then, if it wasn't.
Did you say October 13th?
The term alien, you know, October 13th of 2020, last year.
2020, okay.
Yeah,
go on.
The backstory, my fiance and I, we moved into a house. She purchased the house in September. And within almost immediately, some strange things were happening inside the house that, you know, that everybody was experiencing and feeling, and things that like laying in the bathtub and the lights dimming down and getting brighter, dimming down, like electrical surges type stuff.
Okay.
And that led up one night on October the 13th, I was hearing these clicking type sounds, okay, throughout the house. And I went to bed, and it was late at night. It was in the middle of the night. I woke up. Just as I was falling asleep, I heard the clicking sound again, and I opened my eyes. And this thing is in our bedroom. I opened my eyes, and I jumped out of bed, standing up, looking at it, face to face, eyes open. I knew I wasn't dreaming because I had just literally went to sleep to lay down to go to sleep, and I hadn't really fell asleep. And I'm looking at this thing face to face. It was tall. It had massive round eyes, like oval shaped eyes. They weren't almond shaped, or they weren't black. They were oval, and they were brown, and the pupils dilated, and it made facial expressions. It looked at me like it was surprised that I was seeing it. And it was terrifying. I mean, it was terrifying. Like, my natural instinct was to hop up and immediately start yelling. And I was like trying to push it back. My fiance, I woke her up. She was freaking out. Like, what's going on? What's going on?
So you touched it?
As I was hopping up and Like, I hopped up and I was like, it was standing over top of us, or top of me on the left side of the bed. It was like right there. And I immediately jumped up and started like trying to push it back. But it was like almost, it was almost like a hologram. It was not in the physical, not like a physical three-dimensional body like you can touch and feel, but it was there nonetheless. Like, I don't really know how to describe it other than that. I've never experienced anything like that. I have had quite a few unexplained experiences, but that takes the cake.
So I got I know Jim's got a...
No, go ahead.
Load up. Have you ever experienced sleep paralysis?
I have when I was... it started in... when I was 15, I remember I had sleep paralysis for the first time. And when that happened, I didn't really know what it was. And to my knowledge, I've experienced it two other times since then.
I have had sleep paralysis as well. And my experience is very similar to yours. I wake up and it's the dead of the night. I feel awake, like my eyes are open, but I'm visually seeing something in the room with me that's not really there, moving towards me, standing over me.
See, I've never had my experience with sleep paralysis. It wasn't like that. Now, I have read accounts where it was, but my personal experience, I was like off in a dream or off in the astral plane.
Your voice is kind of fading. Can you come back closer to the mic?
Like I was being bit by a snake. I'm sorry?
Can you come back closer to the mic a bit? You were really, really clear there for a minute, and then you kind of drifted off again.
Yes.
There we go.
Yes. So the last two times that I experienced the sleep paralysis, I was, I don't remember until the very end. My eyes were opened at the end, but just before that, it was like I remember I had been injected with some type of poison or something to that effect, where I could actually literally feel my heartbeat slowing down. Okay, mm-hmm. And then the other time, it was a snake bite. Like I could feel the venom. Like every time my heartbeat, I could feel the venom pumping through my veins. Pumping throughout my system, my circulatory system. And I mean, I would open my eyes and it was like terrifying, obviously, you feel it and it was painful. But this was not like that. Because I was able to move. This wasn't sleep paralysis to my knowledge, because I jumped up and my eyes were open and I'm standing there and it was still there. Now, I don't know if it was, if you could maybe describe it as a hallucination, but
it'd be a hypnagogic hallucination. I think would be the proper term for it. And you can get up and move and still be seeing. I'm not saying that that's necessarily what happened in your case, but you can fight against your sleep paralysis demon, right, so to speak, and try to push it and try to get it away from you. That's generally what happens immediately when I break out of mine. I haven't had it in years, but when I break out of it, I'm flailing and throwing my arms around and stuff, throwing my watch off, apparently. So,
I remember one of the last times. I remember one of the last times I had the sleep paralysis. I was trying to call out, but all I could get out was like a faint whimper. Like a very faint voice. It was like I couldn't get it any words out hardly. But I had my eyes open. I just couldn't move. And well, this wasn't like that. I know the.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say that sounded like sleep paralysis, but then you clarified that's not what it was like. So never mind. Yeah. Why not just conclude that you had a really vivid dream?
I mean, it's a plausible theory to think that. And however, I mean, my fiance, she's right here. She has had similar.
Did,
I don't know.
She was there with you, right?
Exactly.
Did she
like
see it?
Because she didn't see it.
Oh, she didn't see it. Okay.
Excuse me?
She didn't see it?
I woke her up and she was like, what is going
on? Oh, I bet. Yeah, you're up.
I'm
you're
sorry,
up.
Repeat that?
Flailing your arms around and stuff. I'm sure it probably scared her pretty good, too.
Well, I mean, I hopped up. As soon as I saw it, it was like skulking around in the bedroom. Like, and when I hopped up, it backed away from me.
Right.
And it made facial expressions like it was surprised. I've had a lot of dreams, and this wasn't anything like that. I don't know if it was like a waking dream, like I was physically up and still dreaming. Now, if that's what you're talking about, is that a possibility? Maybe. But I have yet to have had an experience like that before or since.
All right. And that uniqueness kind of makes me wonder if it wasn't something along the lines of a waking dream, or your dream was just so vivid you thought you were awake.
Well,
yeah,
here's
the
thing.
Worth looking into.
I actually have some video, not video, I have some photographic pictures that I took of the front of our house. Like I said, when we first moved in here, we almost immediately started experiencing strange phenomena and things that were going on inside the house. And so fast forward to this year, okay, this late spring, around May sometime. We had a unique looking hazy purple pink sunset that day. And I'd been doing yard work in the front yard. So, you know, naturally I was like, oh, this is nice. So I started taking pictures of the front of the house, the yard work, whatnot, the sky behind the house. And I didn't think anything. So a few weeks later, I'm going through my phone, trying to delete some pictures to make space in my phone. And I was going through the photos and I noticed something that kind of caught my eye. So I opened that photo up and in the window of the house, in that picture, there was something that really caught my attention and I almost couldn't believe it. And, you know, you talk about parabola and all that, like I really had to search this picture. Like up and down, like I blew it up. I put filters on it. I didn't alter anything other than like the shading and the light as far as, you know, to try and get some clarity and some depth between the shadows. But there's four different figures in this photo. Okay. One looks like a canine, like a dog type creature. One looks like a demonic horn type creature. One looks like a large, like a classic looking gray alien head, and that's what I saw in our room. But it wasn't short. It wasn't short like a typical, like you hear about the 3 feet. Maybe a tall gray, but it didn't have all the exact elements of the descriptions that you hear. Okay, and then in the last photo or the last image that on the other side, it looked like a man's face in that picture, all in the window. And I have that picture I still have that picture. Go ahead.
I think Ethan's got that picture. I was talking to him in chat on the side here. We'll see if we can actually put that picture up.
Yeah.
Share it with Ethan? Okay. There we go.
Okay, so we're looking at it, and I don't see...
a ceiling fan?
Yeah. So where are these images of these folks that you're seeing?
Is there a screen in this window?
I don't know if you can see it. Some people don't see it. Some people do, and some people are like me, see it clearly as day. And when I saw that photo, when I was going through the photos, the first one I saw was on the lower left. It looked like a horned type creature. That's the first face that I noticed. Then, like, under the ceiling fan is the large head. It looks like, to me, it looks like the head of an alien, like a gray alien. But in the lower left, there's a, it looks like a bear type or a dog type of a creature. I don't know if you all can see it, honestly.
No, I don't see anything other than shadows on that picture. Nothing that looked even remotely like a anything like what you're describing. I don't see any heads. I don't see any horns. Yeah, I just don't see it.
I got some questions about it.
Some people don't. Some people really don't. And over in the far right, on the far right side, there's a photo or a image of what I see is a clear face, like a human face.
Yeah, and just didn't see any of that.
Wow. Okay. Well.
Okay.
Some people haven't that I've shown the photo to. They don't see it.
I have questions about this. And, about this. What floor is this on?
That's the second floor.
Second floor. Okay, and you're standing out in the yard. Second is there floor. A screen in that window?
Yeah. Yeah. No, there's no screen.
No screen. So it's just open.
No screen. I could.
Is this the house you live in now?
It is.
Okay. And there's no screen in the window now either. No storm window or anything.
I honestly, I don't think that there is. I don't think that there is a screen up there. There, it's just, you know, it's a, you can okay. raise the window up, but I don't believe that there's a screen in that window. Honestly,
is the window open here? Or is that, are we looking at the tempered glass?
No, it's closed. It's closed. The window is closed in that photo.
How old's your house?
What was it? Built in 2004.
2004. Do you know on the windows yeah. there is it tempered glass or is it? Do you know what kind of glass?
I'm not sure if it's tempered glass or not. It's just, okay. it's I'm just probably wondering, the original glass that was in.
okay.
Graphic glass.
Okay. No, it's okay. I was just I didn't know how much you were because you know if you when you're looking at the real estate papers or anything, they sometimes it'll tell you a little bit about that kind of stuff in the house.
Yeah. And I got to go back to what I was looking at. And I just don't see what you're saying. And I think one of the things is it looks like the camera was at a bit of an angle because the window looked a little askew on that side. So I'm not sure that everything that you're going to see on that is going to be from the right perspective, but.
I'll have to post, or I can send you guys the other photos that I have. Maybe that will make a difference. All I did in that photo probably is, you know, when I cropped the photo to try and enlarge it, you know, it's not perfectly straight. So
right.
Maybe that has something. I don't know. But I do have photos of, you can see the actual front of the house a little better, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So this is zoomed in quite a bit from, for street level, standing out in the yard.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I was just standing right outside the front of the house, you know, when I took the photo. And I really wasn't trying to focus in on the window. I was just trying to get a picture of, like, the house itself and the background.
Right.
The sunset and the sky. I just happened to see that. And it just going back to what my experiences was in the fall, I saw that face and some of the things that we've experienced here. I was like, oh, my God, you know, maybe it has something to do with it. Maybe it doesn't. But, you know, so, I've tried to, ever since then, I've tried to understand and learn as much as I possibly can, even more so than I thought I knew before. But, yeah.
I'm looking at the picture now. I went back and just paused our stream to look at it. And if you look at it long enough, you can kind of do like you do when you're staring at the clouds and looking for shapes and stuff in the clouds. Yeah, I can see. You said there was like a dog in the lower left corner. I can see. I can make a dog appear if I look at it the right way. I believe it's pareidolia. I think that we're just that we can train our minds to look for familiar shapes, including
faces, yeah,
in just formless, I guess, I don't know what you'd call it, just shadow and light kind of meshing together there in the window from that angle. And we can force our brains to pick faces and forms out of that. What would you say to that? That, because I could see things in here that you don't see. Maybe I could see something that you don't see if I look at it long enough. And
right,
that something's there.
I understand what that phenomenon is. Yeah, I totally understand what you're saying, and maybe you don't see it, you know, like I see it, or other people have seen it, and that's okay too. It's not something that I don't know. I'm not really upset that you can't see it or anything. I just, me personally, that's what I feel it is, because I've went back and taken some more photos of that same shot trying to recapture, and I haven't been able to.
Right.
There's other pictures that I have that it was almost like whatever is in that photo that you guys are looking at was manifesting right as I took several pictures in a succession, and there's other things. Like, not all those photos, not all of it is together. Like, yeah, it was like halfway. If you could imagine a face manifesting itself, but it wasn't complete, I have a photo of something that's similar to something like that I would describe it.
Light changes. Natural light and light changes so much minute to minute, sometimes second by second. I mean, I spend quite a bit of time watching sunsets, and it's amazing how quickly the light can change is clouds move across it, move across the sky, and as the sun's setting, the lighting can change quite a bit.
These photos that I took of that right then, they were pretty much taken within 1 minute, seconds of each other. It wasn't.
Yeah, and if they're all the same type of photo where you have people who don't see it and people who do, I don't know how that could be convincing that it's anything other than an artifact of the camera.
Right. Like I said, I mean, yeah, some people don't see it. Some people do. It's one of those
things, I guess. Let's do a recap of your experience. Let's do a recap of your experience that you had within this home. So you said there was some electrical stuff, the lights flickering and dimming, and then there was your visitor when you were sleeping.
Now, there was that issue with the lights. When we first moved in, we were laying in the bathtub, and like the lights started dimming down in the bathroom, and then they started getting brighter again, and
that could just be it could just be a power surge. Could be bad ground. I mean, there's a number of things that it could be. All of which are fairly natural explanations. I'm not sure that.
The bathroom light was the only one that did that, because it was in the master. It was in the master bedroom, which has the bathroom. That was the only light that did that. The other.
You ever had anybody look at the wiring?
I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, and it could be a bad ground just on that circuit. I mean, it could be just that circuit. It doesn't have to be throughout the entire house.
Or just a bad on the switch, even just right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That connection on the switch. There are, I mean, and so we got this collection of different phenomena that's kind of inflicting. You got your pictures with anomalies in them. You have the lights dimming. You have the encounter that you had, of course. So, I mean, all of these things,
right,
priming your did you have these experiences with like in the same time frame? I mean, were you expecting things
to happen? Yes. still presently happening, actually. But the there's one other thing that I would like to tell. So right after, not long after that October 13th event, we have a dog. We have a dog, and his name's Ollie. Well, he was a puppy, and we were house training, house breaking him, you know. And, it was late at night once again, and I had to open up the back door to let the dog out, okay, go outside. So I'm walking around at the house, like throughout the rooms and stuff, and so the back door is open. Well, I see our dog come inside, look right up at me, and it started urinating on the floor right at my feet. And it made, like, direct eye contact. As soon as it got, I started yelling at the dog to stop, you know. Well, it looked up at me and then just bolted, made a beeline right out the back door, okay. I chased after the dog, like, right there, and it just kind of disappeared. I didn't see where it went. I couldn't find it. So I turned right around, went back into the house, and there's the dog sitting by the wall chewing his bone.
Okay. And the floor was still wet with urine?
That's another experience that I've had here in this house that I can't I have no other explanation.
And was the floor still wet with urine?
Excuse me?
So the dog came back in, pissed on the floor, and then you chased it, left. You chased it. Was the urine still on the floor?
Yeah, absolutely. But it didn't run. It didn't run away like normal. It didn't run away. It didn't look like my dog when he was walking. It had a different type of movement. It was like if you could imagine like how a rat scurries. It kind of had that motion. That movement. It was the creepiest thing. So I come back into the house after chasing after the dog that just disappeared that looked like my dog. Come inside and there he is. And this house is not that big. I mean, you can go from room to room and there he was. I can't describe it other than that. I can't explain it other than that.
Yeah, that still just sounds like a dog doing dog stuff. I mean, okay, he ran a little funny. Not real sure why, but it wouldn't be unusual for the dog to, you know, as soon as it got out of the house and you broke sight with it to run around behind you and get back in the house. Those are all things that dogs can do.
I didn't break sight with it. The dog was, I was following the dog outside it, and it just disappeared. Like, it was gone. And I turned around, the dog's behind me, back in the house. Like, there was no delay as far as, you know, breaking sight with the dog. It was chasing a dog. Dog has disappeared, turning around, going right back into the house, and there it is.
All right.
There's no other way. The front door wasn't open. The garage wasn't open. It was a small area. I can't explain it, man. I wish I could.
Well, we can definitely explore that sighting. We're actually out of time on this episode for our calls.
Yeah.
We do appreciate you calling in, and I would like to have you call back in and maybe explore this encounter a little bit more. I have questions about it, but I'm not going to have time to get to them. But we appreciate your call here, Eric.
And I appreciate you guys. I'll look forward to listening to your podcast as well.
Thank you. We'll be here every Tuesday.
Thanks. Yep.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you.
All right. Take care, Eric.
Take care.
Good work, guys. So what did you think of that last call? Like, do you have any final words?
I didn't hear or see anything that was convincing. A photograph that was at best an eye test. Dark and light and pixelating on the camera, and you know, it or not really pixelating, but it could have been anything. I didn't see a face. Dogs doing dog stuff don't really excite me too much.
The same thing you said though about the dog just doubling back and going back in the house while he was out chasing after it.
Right. Or he focused on something that wasn't the dog and he thought it was, and while he was moving, he mistook whatever it was for motion, and that was a dog, and the dog just kind of waited for him to step out and then scooted right back in. Dogs and cats are really, really good at escaping when they want to, and getting around legs and getting in before door, getting out before doors close, and that would apply to getting back into the house too. So, yeah.
As far as his encounter with the creature in his bedroom, that sounded very, very much like a sleep paralysis episode to me. I mean, like a prime case for it, in my opinion. But
yeah, that seemed like the most likely case to me too. That he just had a really, really vivid dream, and now they're both talking about that, and so now they're priming each other, and so now they're more prone to take anything that happens in the house as something supernatural, because they've already come to that conclusion. So now they're just confirming their biases. They're confirming their bias.
Well, for those that don't know, this is our last perspective show of the year, so what we're bringing on some past guests. I'd like to welcome Richard Gilliver and Secular Rarity. Guys, how you doing?
Yeah.
Hi, very good, thank you.
There's the guys.
I'm a little disappointed we've got Gilliver on, but that.
Before we get to the questions, did you guys have any follow-up thoughts on that last call?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, there's always some thoughts that I have whenever people are talking about aliens and ghosts and impossibilities with physical things. It one of the things that always interests me is how quick people are to say something can't happen when every little aspect of it has already been proven. Like, we know dogs are real. We know dogs are fast. We know they're small. Like, we know they run. None of this is new. None of this is interesting or anything. And somebody will say, well, there's no way my dog could have gotten through that ladder. I mean, that ladder right there, there's no way he got through it that fast. Like, well, why not? It's a dog running. Of course not.
Yeah. And you can blink, take your eyes off them for just a moment. And everybody who has ever had a pet cat or dog will know just how fast those four-legged little freaks can move when they put their little minds to it. Yep. Especially a dog in zoom mode. So,
yeah, and one thing that caught me as well was they said several times during the call there was no other explanation. And I'm not quite sure how it calculated the probability of that.
Yeah, well, I don't like going too much into, the fallacy that what else could it be? How do you...
that, by the way?
Oh, that's why I didn't actually name it. Incredulity, thank you. Yeah.
Wait, yeah. Basically, it just means you can't think of what else. You're like, I've racked my brain. It couldn't be anything else. Therefore, it has to be.
Right.
Well, wait a second.
That was actually that plus I don't know. It was I don't know and what else could it be were the two arguments I used to justify my belief in God. And once I learned that those were fallacies, that's what really got me to stop believing fairly quickly.
Yeah.
I do got to ask what you guys thought of the Bigfoot call.
So first off, just glad we got one. Just always excited for any new topics, right? We still need, can somebody please help out my good friend here, Brainbug? They have been asking for werewolves. There's somebody out there that watches this show that can call us about werewolves that they believe in. Do it already.
Yes,
do it already.
Or someone who is a werewolf can call in. That would be even better.
If you are a werewolf, please, what are you doing? Call in. But with the Bigfoot stuff, it's always very much the same as the aliens, it seems to me, where it's like, we've got something really fuzzy and it's way far away in the background and whatever. I mean, Gutsit Gibbon has talked about Bigfoot, and of all the people to talk about it, I mean, she's the one. This is what she does. This is what she studies. And just listening to her talk about it really kind of changed my perspective a little bit, because for a while I kind of poo-pooed the discussion and I kind of, you know, giggled at it and stuff. And then I heard her say one day, as somebody that studies hominids, I would lose my mind if we found this. I so want this to be true. Please bring me all of the evidence. And I was like, you know what? That's a really good point. That would be super, super cool. It's just that literally everything I've seen is just fuzzy lights in the background.
I remember once I saw an interview with David Attenborough, and he said that of all the cryptozoology out there, it was Bigfoot that he thought was most plausible.
Jane Goodall said something like that too.
Yeah, well, she's also admitted she really wants it to be the case as well. I mean, I don't know that anybody who studies any of the hominids that wouldn't just completely lose their little minds on seeing that. And I put myself in that same thing. It would be awesome. Because we start answering some very important questions, like, why don't we get consistent tracks? Why don't we get consistent spore? Why don't we get, you know... better shots? How are they so elusive? Why don't we have any fossil evidence? Why don't we have any bones at all? And yeah, it takes time to, but you know, if they're wild animals, then we should at least find bones from when they've died or something along those lines in these areas where they're being seen, and we don't see any of that. Then you have, you know, we just don't see bone, we don't see trash or carcasses
in North America ends up on the side of the road at some point, hit by a vehicle. So why don't we see that?
What would you do if you were driving late one night and you hit a Bigfoot? Like, would you stop or would you keep going? I don't know.
I would definitely stop. You would just drive it to the roof of my car.
Yeah, definitely.
Make it part of my family.
Are you kidding? I mean, the money you would get from bringing a real one in to any anthropologist or, you know, any scientist, the news rights alone would be astounding, right?
Was there a documentary about one of them hanging out with a family or something, the Hendersons? I don't remember.
Yeah.
I was intrigued by the caller saying that about as soon as he said there's so much video footage out there on the internet, I immediately did what Jim did and I went straight and looked for it straight away, and I couldn't find any like live footage from the traffic cam. There was one still image, just literally one still image, and it was so blurry. It could have been it could have been wolves.
Right.
He kept saying it's all over the internet, and I'm like, I spend my evenings, every day of the week, my evenings looking up this stuff because I do a show about it. I know what's out there. I wish that there was abundance.
Yeah, and the few good images that I was able to see that looked like they were taken on some more modern cameras, you know, some and even then the detail on them just isn't that good to tell if it's a suit or real. And I was very, very shocked by that. And it's the black fur on the black fur. The detail just didn't seem to be there. And I was like, yeah, that's far more interesting, but it still could be somebody in a suit. Especially the way those arms move. Those arms kind of remind me of what some of the cosplayers do to extend their arms, right? Because they don't quite bend quite correctly. The forearm seems a little long, but that just could be them. I don't know.
So I do want to get to some of the end of the year questions. So what type of calls are your favorite to take? Feel free, anyone, to run with this.
I like their psychic calls, when the psychics call in, and especially when they try to make predictions about stuff or offer readings.
Yeah, and to follow up on that, I mean, my favorite calls are actually the religious ones because it's where I've got most kind of knowledge area. But following on what Breeze just said, I think that we did have a call, and it wasn't from a psychic as such, but it was a repeat caller who actually made a prediction live on the show. And it was about Fashion Week. And after Fashion Week occurred and his prediction didn't come true, he never called the show back, and I was so disappointed.
Yeah.
You know, one thing I would like to touch base on, because this was a question in the comments section by I Got Cookies, and it was, you know, we've had some people that we were supposed to follow up with, you know, what happened to them, you know, whether it be psychics or, you know, like the atheist Jake, not the atheist Jake, the YouTuber, not him, a different atheist Jake, you know, wanting to fly Dave and I down to go film in the paranormal with him, or a paranormal investigator bringing us on their investigations. At the end of the day, I follow up with these people and I either get met with no response or an excuse. Like the psychic had said, the last interview, the last call left a bad taste in her mouth. So she wasn't comfortable with it anymore and didn't think she could put the energy into it. So I try, and I really hope that one of these days these callers like let us follow through with them, because I want to go ghost hunting so friggin' bad. And I've gone through so many different paranormal investigators, and it's just not happening. So hopefully one day I can make it happen. But yes, our callers are followed up with. Most of them we get through Facebook group chats, so I'll end up communicating with them via Facebook Messenger. And when it comes time to get the evidence, it just doesn't, we just don't get it.
Right.
But when they're on the show, they're all about it. Oh yeah, come on down. We're gonna go ghost hunting together. They're really excited about it. Then
yeah, then you follow up and crickets, and that's never a good sign.
We have had some amazing calls over the year, though. I remember the very first show I did with Bree, and it was such an eclectic mix of different things. We had kind of symbology in there, and aliens and ghosts. It was like a full packed show of different type calls, and that's what's so amazing about the perspective is you get these different calls all the time.
Was it our first show that the lady called in about the coin drops, the ghost doing the coin drops?
Oh, the coin drops.
No, I don't think so. I don't think that was. Maybe that was
on with somebody else in that show. That was a good call, though.
There's been a few coin drop calls. I didn't know anything about this, y'all. There has been years of my life I could have been making bank from these ghosts, and I didn't know anything about it. Like I was when I heard a caller and there were like all these people in chat, and they were like, oh yeah, I know about coin drops. Yeah, it's happened to me a bunch. I was like, whoa, wait a second.
How do you make it happen?
Yeah, right? Like, come on. Let's do dollar bill drops next.
Yeah. So how do you get coin drops? I mean, are ghosts just dropping coins?
That's basically what it is. That's what it comes down to. Just every so often a ghost just comes out and just drops a quarter, just in case, I guess.
That's weird.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I had a roommate in college who figured out that a change machine, if you put a 50-cent piece in, it would give him back 4 quarters.
Oh, that's nice.
I found out because he came back from a run to the bank with a bucket full of 50-cent pieces and was complaining he'd cleaned them out.
The thing is about the coin drops is it's so plausible as well, because nobody ever gets holes in the trouser pockets where they keep the change.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
No, yeah. No, never. Uh-uh. Or don't fully stuff the coin into the pocket either. I mean, that one never happens.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. But most of you have come on, actually all of you have come on the perspective repeatedly. Why do you like doing it?
Mm. Me first. No, seriously, no, because Ethan gave me my first break doing any of this kind of stuff. And, you know, to this day, I will drop anything to come on the perspective. I love the perspective. I love Ethan's attitude towards the callers. I love the variety of calls. And, you know, I'm always going to come back. Every time I'm asked, I'm going to be on without a shadow of a doubt. I love the show.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Thank you, Richard.
Yeah, the tone is definitely different, and the variety of calls is much different than what I'm used to. You know, AXP is pretty much religion. We know what we're going to talk about when we get there. The line is still kind of the same. So yeah, it's still, you know, it's nice to be able to come in and talk about some of this other stuff, and actually have a conversation. Which is sometimes hard on the other two shows that I do with that topic, because people are more personally invested, and here they're just telling a story, and, you know, we just got to be very, very careful to never, ever hint that we're calling them a liar, and we never actually do call them a liar, because it's their experience. We don't know. But, yeah, the tone and the conversations are definitely the most fun.
Yeah, I can definitely kind of echo what both Jim and Richard just said. I mean, it's so much fun to do this. I love engaging in these types of discussions in general. Like, I'm that dickhead at the party that everybody's like, don't talk to that guy. He'll spend like 40 minutes breaking down something.
It really is as well.
He's right. He knows. But,
I have no idea what you're talking about on that one. But
also, it's just you've done so much, I think, Ethan, and I think that there's so many other people that if they could be here, they would be saying the exact same thing. We value the hell out of what you do. And, you know, if you call us last minute and say, dude, I got a fire, help me put it out, I mean, we're going to grab a bucket and some water. So,
well, thank you.
Yeah, it's just a great time.
Yeah.
I just want to say the perspective is my baby. I've watched it grow and helped cultivate it. Yes. So you want to know why I keep coming back? Because we're doing it. We're this show is going. We're week after week, we've still kept it up, kept going, keep getting calls. I know Ethan works so hard to get these calls. Maybe you all don't realize it, but he actually goes out and reaches out to these communities of these paranormal communities and stuff, and communicates with these people and asks them if they'd come on and tell their tales. So without that, we wouldn't have a show. But the fact that we are able to keep that up and keep that momentum going, it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. It's so much fun. And it's rewarding when everything goes smoothly and makes me really happy. Yeah. I just hope that we are definitely like making a difference and teaching critical thinking and skepticism. Yeah. And I don't want to just reach the audience and the people watching. I want to get through to the callers too, and give them tools they may not have currently, because I know there was a time I didn't have them where I believed a lot of these things. So this show is my baby, like Bree said. And Bree was literally like the first regular host I had on the show. So it's been fun doing this. Anyways, that's all I got. Do you guys have anything else you want to say?
See you guys next year.
Yeah. We'll be back.
Yeah. And spread the word and let's get some more callers.
Yes. Yes. This is where we could use your help. Like, if you can't become a Patreon, share the YouTube video. If you have family members or friends that believe in these things, Bigfoot, conspiracy theories, the paranormal, the supernatural, God, whatever it is they believe, we want to talk to them. Send them our way. We are here every single Tuesday at 7 p.m. Central. And I want to thank our top tier patrons, Cindy Plaza, Left Right Left, Kenneth Leonard, Sky, Jump and Shoot Oz, Secular Rarity, Philip Leach, Caitlin Beyond, Toast, Richard Gilliver, Sunset Sarge, Amit Matthew, Ray Sylvester, Kyle Brewer. Thank you so much for your patronage. For those that don't know, we do a Discord after
show. He said doodle.
Pickup line Thursdays at 9 p.m.
Oh, yes. Thank you. It'll be the end of the year show with Hannah. And that's all I got. But yeah, if you want, join us in the Discord after show. Some of these hosts may be joining. Some may not. I don't know. I forgot to ask them. If you guys are available, we're going on Discord. Thanks, everyone, and have a safe and happy new year.